Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. Praise God. We are live at Worshiping Friday Fellowship of Learners. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette. And, we had really some sad news this morning. And so we do really praise God because we do have a hope, and I glory in the hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But our own pastor, Geneva Milton, has gone on to her reward. So we rejoice with her, and we are yet still a little sad. And so we just thank you for joining us this morning. We're a little rough around the edges, but we're trying to get ourselves situated here so that we might get into our new book. I had a song, which I can't find, to play for us this morning, but we will just go into the introduction for our new book, which is Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results. And along with that, I am looking at With Christ in the School of Prayer. That was another one of the books that we had contemplated sharing with you on Blog Talk. And so I felt it would be a wonderful way of combining the two. For you, you don't have to get it. You want to for your own pleasure and edification, you can. It's With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. We've read some of his books before. They're very impactful and very powerful. And this is Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results by Mike Schwerve. So we thank you for joining us this morning. We're in, well into the month of May, and we're still with this social distancing and sheltering in place. And though we may be unable to fellowship in person, we have always had our Friday Fellowship of Learners. And it is edifying, it is gratifying, and it definitely becomes a comfort when you reach out and you're able to connect to others with like minds. And so we thank you that you have a desire to fellowship with us. I believe we're going into our fourth year. And so we thank God for this ministry and for the power of it and the longevity of it, for it's all in His grace and mercy that these things have come about. We've grown. We've shrunk and we've grown some more, but we have been blessed with a stable foundation of saints. And so I thank God for you. I don't want to take it lightly. Each one of us have endured many, many things in these last 4 years, but God has brought us through them all. And so we rejoice and we worship Him and we praise Him for His faithfulness and for the power of His name that He has introduced us to in our times of crisis and growth and development. And so we do thank Him. We thank Him that He's so merciful and so forgiving, because during those times we are always reminded of the need for growth and development in our lives, the need for being transformed, the need for being forgiven. And we thank Him because He always, always has been the perfecter of our faith. And the more we know of Him, the more we've come to love Him and to just understand a little bit better His love for us, which is just beyond our understanding. And so we thank Him and we thank you. And we rejoice in gleaning a more, but gleaning another way of viewing our prayer life. Not that it was something wrong with it, but it's just growing. It's growing because the need around us is growing. And one of the statements that's made in the book of prayer, school of prayer, was the fact that as Christians and those that have the power of prayer and the privilege of prayer, prayer is fellowship with the unseen and most holy one. And just when we kind of meditate on that, it is fellowship with the unseen and most holy one. So that's two things that our mind has to overcome that's really beyond us to do on a human natural realm, and we must do it on a spiritual realm, and that is to fellowship with the unseen. We don't see him, and with the most holy one, and we don't understand truly holiness with our own carnal mind. And so those are two things we have to overcome in order to have this fellowship in prayer. And it says the power of the eternal world has been placed at prayer's disposal. So the power that needs to flow through this world that we can see is placed, the power to correct and to comfort and to bless and to inform and to enlighten and to correct, that power is placed at prayer's disposal. It is the very essence of true religion, which is true relationship, and the channel of all blessing. The secret of power and life, not just, and this part I really love, not just for us, but for others. That's the ministry of one another. And for the church, that's for the kingdom. And for the world, that's the natural that we live in. So on the natural level, on a spiritual level, on a personal level, and then on a humane level, that power is the secret to the power and to the life is in prayer. It is to prayer that God has given the right to take hold of him and his strength. It is on prayer that the promises wait for their fulfillment. So in other words, all those promises that we've been reading and studying about, those promises we glean from every book in the Bible, the promises that we have, 25, one that we have just read, they're all waiting. It says it is to prayer that God has given us the right to take hold of his strength, and it is the power that the promises wait for their fulfillment. So the fulfillment of the promise is waiting on our prayers. That's why we are taught to pray our promises and not our problems. It says also it is the prayer, it is on prayer that the kingdom waits for its coming and the glory of God waits for its full revelation. That is some very powerful elements resting on this discipline and this privilege of prayer, communicating with God, reaching, not just communicating, but taking hold of him and his strength. So that's what prayer brings it down. It takes hold. At one point, the author shares with us this God allowing us to reach our arms around his neck so that what's in his heart can flow to us. And that's what happens in prayer. Even when we know what to ask for, so much is still needed to make prayer acceptable. It must be to the glory of God, in full surrender to his will, in full assurance of faith, in the name of Jesus, perseverance that, if needed, refuses to be denied. Now, that's a lot that it's built on, and that's what we're going to see some of the details of that brought out to us in the various prayers that we're going to look at in this powerful prayer for supernatural results. Any questions or comments or insights? And I need you to write down, what do you expect to get out of this study? We know what it's about, but what do you expect to get out of it? Let's have some dialogue this morning.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
What I'm excited about, the 25, you know, I'm excited about this book. I'm excited about, even in my prayer life, I believe it has increased. But now, as we have had this time staying home and just staying in present, it has taught me, I'm learning even a more higher level of prayer and understanding praying through scriptures, but even with the promises of God. It was a book you all gave us before, and learning how to just read that scripture and pray it, and just, it might be I stay a week on one scripture, but it came from the promise of God, but it became a prayer from the promise. And and like you just said, instead of talking about our promise, we're praying not problems, but we're praying the promises of God. And that's what I'm looking forward to even enjoy a more excellent way. And I used to think, I know it's communicating with God, but I just felt like my prayers didn't sound like nobody else's or whatever, but it wasn't about that. And my prayer life has, I believe, with the Holy Spirit, has move in a higher dimension. But I think in this book that it's just like we just finished the promises, now the prayer, supernatural, it's just what we need in this season with everything. And it's just what we need. How can we even vandalize a witness to others if we're afraid to open our mouth and let him fill us with what he has in our prayer, for the prayer for the people, you know? And to even reach first, it started in our own. So I just thank God for what this is gonna, what this is about to do, even to catapult us to a higher dimension in Him. And I'm excited.
Amen. Good insight. Anybody else? Somebody else.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
I've been enjoying, you know, the different prayers that we read and the other books. But most importantly, Moses kind of echoed what I've been asking the Lord, asking God. I'm not sure if I've heard him, but I always ask him, you know, I want to know his way and his will. And I think that in asking him that, I think that comes into play with the names of God. So in us coming to know him in his, you know, the characteristic of God. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, just coming to know him in his different characteristics, because like, I'm not sure who said, we know about Jesus, you know, and Jesus has been our, well, I can speak for me, focus. but and not God. You know, we talk to God, but Jesus has been our focus. But I want to get to know God, because I don't think I really know him. And you know, really know him in his different characteristics, and really know him. I know Jesus, but I just want to come to God.
Amen.
The more.
Absolutely. Awesome. That's a powerful desire, and one in which I know he is going to fulfill. And I'm glad you brought it up, because so often in our walk, we don't often think of the Godhead. We do. We think of Jesus, and we believe, you know, and we believe in God. We believe he's the Son, that Jesus is the Son of God. God is the Father. And I believe that the Old Testament gives us, and that's where most of these prayers are going to come from, the Old Testament. It gives us an insight to the nature of God, the Father. And we'll find, I believe, why God, the Son, so loved his Father and so honored his Father when he was on earth. And so the information that he had about his Father came from his association with God the Father, which is shared in appropriate detail in the Old Testament, because God put it there so that we would know him. And so that's a wonderful goal to have. And I often thought of the physical structure of heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And, you know, them sitting on the throne and the Holy Spirit not really being there, because in me, but and in us, but he has this channel connected to the Son, God the Son, because Jesus said, the only way he can come is if I go. He will reveal to you what heaven is doing. So the Holy Spirit is connected to Christ, who is then sitting next to the Father making intercession. And so it's a really a physical, spiritual, I know it's spiritual, but it's also a physical picture that we are now being ushered into. And so to just understand, sometimes we're at a distance, you know, and we're, you know, we're distant from the actual scene of it, because we know the basics. But the more you know and understand the nature of it, then those are going to be mysteries of heaven going to be revealed to you that draw you closer to this spiritual, physical picture. I think that's the only way I know how to put it. And that becomes very exciting, very exciting. And one of the things that this author is going to do, and he shares with us, is the fact that we are going to look at some of the Bible heroes, faith heroes. We're going to celebrate their faith and how the details surrounded their prayers that brought about supernatural results are sometimes not those things that we focus on. So it just gives us a point of focus, a point to evaluate and to assess when we go into prayer. Anybody else? Good insight. Anybody else? Sharing what you yes.
Overseer, this Pastor Rogers. And when it started off with the prayer of Jabez, and I was listening to the author when he said it didn't take but 10 seconds for Jabez to ask God for what he wanted. And sometimes we, and I know I did it, act like God don't hear us. But now, you know, I'm learning that really I can't even pray unless, you know, he leads me to request what it is that he wants me to do. And, you know, last time I tell you, it's just beginning to be awesome, because if we just hear God and obey, that obedience, he showed me, he said, I want you to do everything I said you can do. So now the promises, he didn't already, I'm putting the promises with the prayers all over again. This is a repeat. But even in this repeat, it's giving me this newness, because he said we will become new creatures. And God's saying everything that he promised does that we can do when we pray it, we got to believe it, and it's already done. And that's what Moses didn't know what he was going into. And then he saw these people that God had gave him. And he said, but you said you're going to be, he was giving God back his word. And then he had expectations from God. But God already didn't grave us the expectation. And Jesus already said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you know me, you know the Father, because they were one. And I just know that the closeness and this unity and even this prayer line, when we come together in unity, we're going to receive the blessings that he has set before us to get to know him, to become like him. I was like, Lord, I know enough about you that I love you. That, you know, that I love you. Now with this love, can I do what you say? And I just see that I just want to do what he said, be obedient, because we know when you do or what he say, you say we're going to meet on Friday. We all come together and meet on Friday. We all get a blessing we receive. So whatever it is that God has us praying for, believe it, and then we act on it. And then we'll see the work, because if we're doing it, if we coming together and we're on the prayer line and we listening to what this writer had done, he wrote the book. But then if we go back and we don't hear and do what God told us to do, then to me it was vain. And I'm just at the point, I just want to do what he say do. And it was a time that I wasn't hearing. I can honestly say I wasn't hearing, but I was doing what I was taught as a child. But I wasn't hearing God's voice the way I can hear it now. And because I can hear it, and he say, trust me. And when he say, trust me, you don't even think about it. You just do. Yeah. So anyway, I was listening to Moses, you know, when Moses was talking to God, he said, show me your glory. And I just was into that part when it seemed God said, I can't do that. You would die. But God made a way that he could see it anyway, because the glory, Jesus hadn't came and died, and God already knew that Jesus was the glory. So he showed him the mind part. And then when I studied the hand part, I went back to the fruits of the Spirit, you know, the parts of God that he wants us to have, the fruit. So anyway, I just tell you, it's just awesome how God can use people. He used each and every one of us that we come together. And then when we get his word and the testimonies, you know, the testimonies belong to God. And everything, you know, just give us joy and getting to know God. When we hear him, we getting to know him. The names, I love it, but to hear his voice and to obey him.
Amen.
So this is what I'm looking for, these powerful prayers and this supernatural power. And I want to just say that I like it because it's a God's supernatural response. And knowing that when he give us supernatural power, we don't get... I always say the big head, but we know it's of God, and we don't want to try to take God's glory, if you understand what I'm saying. when we know that it's God, we can boast in God, but not boast in ourselves. So this first chapter is just awesome, and I thank the Lord for leading you to bring us here at such a time as this.
Praise the Lord. And that's hearing the Lord speak, and not just through one person, but through others, and listening and hearing even what others bring, because it takes all of us to get in and to walk in the will of God. It really does, because if the teacher don't teach and the preacher don't preach and the evangelist don't evangelize and speak and declare the gospel, then it won't all work. And so I thank God for the unity of faith and the fellowship of learners. I really do. I love it the way he is trying this at such a time. We need supernatural results for our prayer, because he is, as they call it, resetting some things. And so when they come back into, or right on, they come back online, we want them to come back online aligned with heaven. And in order to do that, in order for heaven to intervene, we're going to have to know how to pull down the strength and the power of God through our prayer, how to pray. But even more than that, we have to be prepared for prayer. And it showed with Moses, his preparation was in three stages over almost 100 years, okay? And so it is not necessarily something that you can just jump off the boat and do. And it's not that you can't pray. You can. But this supernatural result that changes worlds, it changes nations, it changes generations, it comes from a holy preparation. And most times the preparation is not what we would agree to if we had a choice. But it is something that strips us of ourselves so that he can be raised up in our spirit man. I love the verse that I am crucified. The thing is, it's like, nevertheless, I live. So it's saying I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead, but I'm yet alive, but I am not alive. The life I live in the faith of the Son of God. And so that's what Christ did. He lived in the faith he had of the Father when he was on earth. So no matter what he endured, he was enduring it, trusting in the Father, doing the Father's will. And so often we would like to help define what the Father's will should look like, not what it is, but what it should look like. And he had to come in the garden. You know what? Not my will be done. So in other words, it can't be done the way I see it, like just take this cup from me and do something else. No, it has to be done the way God wants to be done. And that comes from a life that has been prepared to surrender themselves to God. And that's one of the things pastors hear. Maybe not before she didn't hear, but she hears now. So she's been prepared to hear the voice of God. And then she has been enabled to want to do what the voice says. Because God says, even the Bible says, we can't even do what we know we want to do. It's God that gives us will. One of the things that Andrew Murray shared in Absolute Surrender, and I can never forget it, it's like, let your prayer be, Lord, my will is that you make me willing. And I read it, I know, about 100 times. And it's like, because on my own, I can't will it to be. You know, I may want it to be, but I cannot will it to be. And wanting, you know, falls short because it is rooted in the flesh, and the flesh can't do it. This has to be the spirit. And so when he shares with us with what Moses, though his prayer was simple, five words, it was based on over 100 years of preparation that killed the soil of his heart. It also prepared him physically, educationally, mentally, and generationally to do what God needed him to do. Because we see that there was a curse on his life before he was born. Okay? And this curse was not greater than God. So that's the first thing we have to understand. The curse is on us from the Garden of Eden, but it's not greater than the promise of God on our life. And so we do not have to succumb to it, because he didn't succumb, but he didn't know it. But those around him refused to succumb. And so that gives us indication that we're going to have to also be intercession for someone else. His mother was energy put him in that basket. And then his sister was participating in it by following, giving the wisdom of God to follow and see where it goes. She didn't know that the queen was going to get him. But this is all part of the way God orchestrated. But it does, the orchestration wouldn't work if people weren't listening to him and not viewing their circumstances. Because if they were viewing their circumstances, would you put your baby in a river? No. Okay? You would not think that the baby would survive. But when you're led by God, you're going to do things that are beyond a natural understanding, because you have a faith. And that is the thing. Not, you have the faith and you have the wisdom and you have the heart to listen to God. And the mother listened to God. And as we are attentive to his voice, that's when not just our preparation, but also the preparation and the destinies of others are heavenly established here on earth. And so as she got the daughter or his sister followed him to see what would happen, she was jeopardizing her life as well. You're not supposed to go where the queen is bathing, you know, but she did it because that was the instructions that her spirit received. And as she received it and obeyed it, it brought her to a place of, and that's what we need, a place of opportunity for God to use us to bring his will to pass. And so what did she do? She said, talking to a queen. And remember, we often don't realize the environment that these things happen in. But that's not something a slave had the right to do, let alone a child with a member of the royal family. Okay? But she actually was dipping in the queen's business because queens saw the baby and pulled the baby out. That was nobody's business, but the daughter and the sister saw that and then spoke, "Would you like for me to?" Okay. Now, I think that that is something that we don't have documentation, but I am almost positive that in an environment where your daddy the king said all Jewish boys should die, that a daughter is going to not only not let one die, but take care of it, bring him into the palace, but with the mother of the child nursing him. And so, although she didn't nurse him in the palace, but he was a part of the palace household. And so that's just how God will do a thing so beyond our understanding, which is why we have to surrender our will to him, and as Pastor Roger said, and just hear his voice and obey. Trust and obey. And as the song that says, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Don't try to figure it out without doubt, question, or hesitation. The old folks used to pray, let me do what you say. Doubt, question, no, just you say it, I do it. And that takes a life of preparation by the Holy Spirit to get to that place. And so he spent the first 40 years of his life learning the things of Egypt, okay? learning the finery, the richness of their history, learning their laws, learning their language, learning their mannerisms, enjoying the benefits of the king's house. And yet, in his spirit, he never changed his connection to his roots, which is why he, killed, we know the story, he killed the soldier that was one of the Hebrew slaves. And then he had to go, as they used to say, to the other side of the mountain. He had to go from the palace to a pauper, okay, living out in the desert, in the wilderness. And so he was there for 40 years. And the book shares 40 years, he was learning to be something. And during the second 40 years of exile in the desert, Moses learned to be nothing. This was part of his preparation. Then in the last 40 years, after the burning bush encounter, Moses learned how God can take nothing and make something out of it. What he made out of it was not a Moses. He made out of it a nation, because Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt so that they will worship and be a nation. And so we see this process, and it may take 100, took him 120 years. It may only take us 120 days. It may take us 120 minutes and 120 hours. But whatever the time is for it, that's what this author shares in the book. It's whatever it is, we're going to ask, so much is needed to make our prayers successful, is that it must be, to the glory of God, not man, it must be to the glory of God. It must be in full surrender to his will, no more I, but you, in full assurance of faith. You've got to believe, and in the name of Jesus, and with a perseverance that, if needed, refuses to be denied. So it doesn't matter how long it takes, I refuse to deny that it's going to happen. It is going to happen. I believe it. He has said it, and that's one of the things. And so we're looking at this process of preparation. And it says, then the author shares with us, so what prompted Moses to pray this prayer? And we hear that most people know the story of when he went to get the Ten Commandments, what the children of Israel were doing, and how that angered him and angered God as well. It says, After he returned after 40 days of fasting, he saw them cutting up, acting crazy over this golden calf. I thought it was very interesting, the insight the author gives as to why the children of Israel made their idol a calf, which is a young cow. And it shared with the fact that a cow, his duty was as a domestic animal, and the cows served whoever owned them, served the people, served the farmer and the people that owned them.
Good morning.
And so it's like, I'm sorry? Okay. And so the fact that it was a subtle message. And we do that. We do subtle things that we'll say, no, I didn't do that. But what's at the heart of it? And at the heart of that golden calf was the fact we're going to make something that will serve us, okay? It will serve us. We're not going to serve him. They wanted a deity who would serve them. And how often do we want God to do what we want done and not what he wants done? And so this golden calf, we often create them in our life, and they're in the place of the will of God. And so we have to always examine and evaluate our hearts, assess what's in our hearts and the root of it, because what we do may not be bad, but what is the root of what we do? What is it, that subtle message that's in there? And so it says that Moses' first reaction was to throw down, I thought that was interesting too, to throw the golden calf down, break it into pieces, break the stone, grind it all together, and make them drink it. Okay, that's what man would do in their punishment. Once David asked, you know, he would rather be at the mercy of God than at the hands of his enemy, because the enemies can do some really raunchy things. And so it says, but after this first reaction that he had, Moses displayed great unselfishness. When God set his mind towards destroying the entire nation and raise up a new nation from Moses' seed, Moses pleaded with God to instead remember his commandment to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So again, in prayer, we bring to remembrance to God what he has said, what he has committed to do to us. And God mercifully relented, because even in that the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there were things that they were supposed to do or to not do. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And so they broke the covenant. But God became faithful in after being reminded, really, by Moses to not do that. I think the important thing here, too, is to see how Moses was selfless, because God was like, I'm going to shift it. I'll make the promise to you and your seed. Okay, he's like, oh, now I can be the father of many nations, okay? But Moses said, no, not I, but you. And what you had said, let that stand on the earth. And so that made Moses get into a place of intercession for actually his enemies, because they were the people that were against God. Now, God did make a punishment by opening the ground and swallowing all those that did bad things, and, you know, but everybody else was okay, and the Levites that didn't go along with it, he then made them the royal priesthood, the ones that would serve him in the temple and at the tabernacle. And so we see here that God hears the prayers of the brokenhearted, because Moses became brokenhearted. Oh, my God, don't let that be. Don't let the world see you not do what they expected you to do. You know, and then they couldn't say, oh, see, he's no better than the other gods. You're greater than that. You're mightier than that. And his heart broke, because the people brought God to that place. You know, the last time before this that he was brought to that place, he wiped everybody out with the flood, okay? And so Moses became, his heart broke for the people and for their place. So this is like the epitome of the ministry of one another in unselfishness, okay? And that is standing in intercessor to your brothers and sisters that sin and are in error, are in or walking in immaturity, or walking carnally. You know, we are just to break our heart, because their relationship with the Father isn't as great as it should be, or isn't as it should be. And so as a result, they know that that displeases, but that breaks our heart. He is saddened when we don't love him the way we should love him, when we don't respond to him the way we should respond to him. And so when we see that happen among our brothers and sisters, then it is our intercessory responsibility to pray for them and to pray on behalf of them, because after all, that's what Christ is doing for us. And so we're no greater than our master. If we should not, you know, be the one that, like the man that owed $1,000, and he was forgiven. And then he went to a man that owed him $5 and wouldn't forgive that man. And so that's not the mindset that the children of God should have. And so all of this is a part of how our prayers bring about supernatural results from God, because they are based on, we're seeing here, the will of God and the word of God and the promise of God. And so it says, God responded, you know, whoever sins against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, Moses prayed. He says, you know what, God, if you don't go with us, and lead us, go. And if you do this to them, you may as well take my name out the book, too. Now, I don't know about that. However, that was Moses' heart for the people and how much he loved God, and maybe bringing to the point that, you know what, if you take their name out because of what they did, you may as well take my name out because I'm going to sin and I'm going to mess up. So just please don't do them and don't do me. And so he said at this time, Moses, completely frustrated with the people, turned his heart worshipfully toward God. And so sometimes when we see that, we see error in the land. We see evil, we see wickedness, even from the high spiritual places, okay? We have to turn our heart worshipfully toward God. We have to worship him. We have to seek what he wants. And so Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I have found grace in your sight. Show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. So all of these in this prayer, and then he says, show me. He goes on, and he says, show me your glory. And so, where is that? Okay. And so the author is going to now point out to us this power, the point that happened through this prayer. It says four power points in motion in Moses' prayer. Any questions, comments, insights, input you would like to give?
This is Trust in the Lord. I believe that's over to your palette. I got on kind of late. Can you tell me what scriptures you all are reading so I can write them down?
Powerful Prayers for the Supernatural Result. That's the book we're in now.
Oh, you all have a book. I see. Okay.
Yeah, we're in the book. Well, no problem.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And so we see how Moses is, as after he has been prepared physically and spiritually, he's emptied himself out, and now his heart is in love with God's will, and he wants it for the people, even in spite of the people. And so he tells God, he asks God, you know, I know your will. Now, you know, show me your ways. So your will is, I'm going to put a note where to put it, is what you want. Now he wants to know, tell me why you want it. You know, show me your nature. Why is it that you still want these people? You still love these people? You still love me? You know, so I need to know about you. That's that part of God that Jesus responded to while he was on earth, why he never wavered from the will of God, because he knew the nature of God. He understood God's way, but he also understood the nature and the person of God. That's those names of God. When you understand those names of God, then you have a insight into how his will is going to manifest, as well as surrendering your will to His. Because once you learn the nature and the why God does these things, because He's the Ancient of Days, because He's Emmanuel, because He is the I Am, because He is a healer, because so no matter what the situation is, He is that and He's over that and He has the power in that thing. And so as a result, we can do what He is asking us to do, even when we don't understand or see how that can possibly work, or we have a different agenda or way that we want to do it.
So, Overseer.
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor Rogers. Well, this is yes. where when the character of God will be, we would take on that same character of God when we get to know Him after He empties us out. I'm thinking, going back to when you said that the first 40 years of Moses, then the next time he had to have been doing nothing because he couldn't do anything on his own. In other words, he was in a new place where when God built him back up, He built him up with the character of God. Even when He said, "Show me your glory," He began to give him his character. The same way I'm thinking again that we went to the, when we were learning the names of God, He also was teaching us His character. So when we see ourselves out of character, then we repent and go back to communicating with God that, I'm thinking, I don't have him on my mind again, absolute obedience, as to know God will reveal to us when we are not following His character. And I was saying, I'm listening to you, and I was hearing what God was saying to me. These are the things that I want you to know when you're not walking. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to stray away from God. And then we don't have to get that far, because He was revealed to us the moment that we're out of His character. So I was just saying that because this was what I was hearing. And I don't know, sometimes, and I'll call you back later, because while you're talking, sometimes I can see different things.
Yes. You know, and I think that is the glory of the fellowship with God, because He's connecting some things that we've known, and they're in our spirit, they're in our understanding, but now He's giving us mysteries that will unfold with that knowledge. And so, you know, as you were even speaking, and you were sharing how knowing the names of God gives you the character of God, and doing that, knowing His nature, and not that we don't become like Him, but what we do is I won't say faithful to Him, we become impressed with Him enough to surrender to Him. Because in His name, just like you were saying, He won't let us stray far. That's because we know His name, and one of His names is the Holy Spirit job to convict you of your keeper, but He will convict you when you're in sin, when you go too far. That's His job. That's His name. That's His nature. I'm going to convict, I can't say the word, not condemn us, but He will rebuke us, if you will, and let us know, hey, you're doing wrong. And all of that comes from the will, knowing the name and nature of God. He can't help but to do that. One of the bishops said God can't help but to be God. But we don't understand that, and we don't know what being God means. And we learn that through His names. And so the fact that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, if we understand that, then we relinquish our desire to try to work to build our faith. That's not our job, it's His. So, you know, He's a covenant keeper. You know, all of these things that are His character and His nature causes us to be liberated from trying to do it ourselves, and then trust Him to do it, knowing that he will do it because we have been so, I'll just say, impressed with the knowledge that we received of him. You know, the Bible says that, you know, as you increase in knowledge of God, all kind of stuff is going to start happening. All kind of obedience are going to flow from us just naturally because we've increased in knowledge of who he is. And when you get that knowledge, you can walk with the boldness and a confidence that you will trust what he says. So when you hear his voice say, if it say, I won't make this kind of comment, but whatever it says, then you'll just do it. The world may say, you crazy? He said, that don't even make no sense. The church world may say, no, you wrong. That ain't. But if you know that's what God is saying, you especially, and I'll throw this in there, those that are trailblazers, those that are transformational leaders, you hear what other people don't hear, and other people can't have the understanding of it because they don't have the knowledge that God has allowed you to have and brought you to mysteries concerning him so they can make those kinds of bold statements that in the natural eye, in the natural spiritual eye, it doesn't make sense to people. But this is a new thing. And I love it when he told in the Old Testament, he told Joshua, he said, this is, you've never been this way before. Never. You've never seen what you're about to see and experience. And he told this to the church last year, told it to laborers. And he gave it to me. He said, you've never been this way before. You must keep your eye on the priest and the Ark of the Covenant. And that's Jesus and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that you have. You yes. can't look to man to bring affirmation into what you're doing or even approval to what you've done. Oh, well, you know, that was just, it doesn't matter. This is what God said. This is it. This is how it's going. Because no one has the insight that Joshua and Moses had as related to getting the children of Israel to where God wanted them to be. That nobody else had that but those people. God gave that to them. And so the leader will possess information that the people just don't know or don't understand. And most times they don't agree with it. But it doesn't matter. And I think the only thing that we have to understand is we walk by faith, not in faith in our leaders, but in faith in the God that's in our leaders. And if you have that faith in the God that's in your leader, even when your leader is wrong, you have the faith to know God's going to fix them so I can still keep walking. Okay? I can still do this because I know that God is the ultimate. He is the head. He is the head and not the tail. He's not going to come about something after it's happened and he comes to the front going, oh, no, no, I don't do that. No, he's going to know from Jump Street. Okay? And so those are the things that sometimes this happens so that we understand who we are in God. And so it is a place where you may have that personal intercession he's trying to bring out in you that you need to do because every leader needs to intercede. Every leader needs a whole a unified body doing those things that they've been gifted to do. And so that's the thing that's being sharpened. Easy to critique a sermon or an announcement or a song or whatever. That's the easiest thing in the world. But the most difficult thing in the world, and you can't do it in the flesh, is to accept that in the spirit and pray for God to give you the understanding of what's going forth. And you can hear a dog bark and still get the message that God has for you from that barking dog. And so there are things that we learn or that we experience because it fine-tunes our relationship with the Spirit. And so as we say, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, before you can even enjoy the ministry, you need to know what the ministry is of the Holy Spirit. And knowing that is knowing the names of God. Knowing the names of the Holy Spirit, that's his nature. And you can enjoy his nature once you know his nature. But oftentimes we want him to have the nature we assign to him. And so as a result, we don't hear when he's talking, he's like, da 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 da, like a kid do. We don't want to hear it. So, questions, comments, insight? I know we up to the end of our session. Yeah.
This is just phenomenal. But I wanted to say it reminded me how they started off with Moses was, I don't know if you all remember when we did got the book God of the Underdog, and it was speaking, and it was speaking of Moses feeling insecure, and it also was speaking on his imperfections, you know, and I think one thing I remember, it was one that he felt lack of evidence, credibility, his flaws. I don't speak like others, you know. I stutter. And he had excuses after excuses and the insecurity and the perfection. And I have a personal flaw. And what it reminded me of, all the, when you know God is taking you to a new place, and he has says, leave all the old and forget everything you knew. No. And just start. It ain't like you're starting over, but you really are, in a way, starting over, because it ain't your flesh and your pride anymore. It's about just staying in my presence and sitting still. And I know one time years ago you said, be still and know I'm God. I just want you to sit still and don't say nothing. And I always was having a problem, always running, of running from him. I found out what it was. Running because the last thing he said, I felt I wasn't capable of doing it. And I wouldn't ever pray out loud because I felt I stuttered. You know, I couldn't, the words just didn't come out right. But in this time, in the name of God, classes and this time with him alone, God has been speaking so clearly, you won't miss him. You know what I mean? He has, the Holy Spirit, been, it's just been, it's been phenomenal. And then when you study the name of God, and I know the first one he gave me was immutability. I said, what does that word mean? And I didn't even understand that word, but he would say, I'm unchanging. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then when we get in his presence and start just understanding him and dying, you know, from flesh and letting go of everything we thought we knew and sitting in his presence all day, the TV off, and just praying and fasting and speaking to him. He's been speaking all the time. But we wasn't listening. I wasn't listening. I'm super personal. I wasn't listening. And I thought I knew everything. And I had to die to not knowing anything. And say, Lord, you are in control. And I might feel hurt or pain or this or that, but I need to seek you like never before. And so every morning it's like, Lord, order my steps. Help me to meditate on your word day and night. Help me to just stay still here in this house. Sit in your presence and wait on the next step of where you're taking me to. Or what am I to read today? And it wind up being every minute, what am I to cook? What am I to put on? And you get that personal relationship with him that is so, you know, necessary to where he's taking you to. But you can't go there if you think you've got it. It ain't about you. And I just thank God for what this book and the prayers, the 25, I mean, the prayer, I just thank God that this is what, from promises to prayers, it has been everything right now. And all the CC, it seems like everything falls together, from church on Sunday, worship to Monday. You know, CCTI to, I mean, and then Tuesday at 5:1 and 6 prayer, and Wednesday Bible, you know, spiritual life enrichment, and prayer and the where we finna go with the prophetic trailblazing Thursday with the, you know, ordination and Friday words from the word, and we just keep going now in the spirits and the healing and break. We ain't missing the word. But if we don't
Amen.
Stay in his room, if we don't stay in his presence, I can never say God didn't bring me the labels for Christ, and with you are Apostle Charnel and you overseer and everybody, the apostolic family, to I can't miss it in this season. I won't miss it in this season. But you know you have got everything, all the paperwork, all the this, the put-ons, the put-out, everything we have learned. There's no excuse that we can't go to where we need to go and be able to bless and help somebody else, you know, and lead them to where they need to be. But if you messed up, how can you lead anybody else? And I just thank God for where he, what he's doing in all of our lives. I'm sorry, I just got caught up, but I just thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And never be sorry. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
By
the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry. I got to say amen, cousin Pat, because you're my cousin. Amen. I heard that.
Amen.
That's a family affair. We all family.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Anybody else want to share?
Oh, this is with Sister Dolores. I'll just share that I'm grateful for Minister Pat not giving into my mess, not doing any of those things, but forever being a presence in my life, at least for the last 2 years. With the help she has given me, I realize that God is still working on me, and I understand that. But I just thank God. Cousin Pat would deal with my mess. She bring me some flowers last year. I thank God for Cousin Pat. I know y'all say Minister Pat, but I got to say thank God for Cousin Pat. If she gave up on me. Just amen. Just amen. Oh. Cousin Pat, go on ahead, girl.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to share?
To God be the glory. Good morning. It's good,
good morning.
To be back.
Good morning.
Amen. Amen. It is so good to hear everybody. I love you all. And as your cousin said, Pat, hey, you go, girl. Let him do it. It's about time you let the shackles fall off and let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen. We hear some wonderful voices of saints that have gone through the fire. They have come out gold, y'all.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. Amen.
Yes,
anybody else? Amen. Well, again, I do want to thank you, ask you to keep the family lifted up in prayer, because she was the glue, the spiritual glue for her family. And you pray for her husband and her children, and keep young Jamil up in prayer. Because he loved his grandma. So to understand that the youth have just as much grief pain, if not more, than older ones, because they just don't understand. And so we do want to make sure we keep them lifted up as a family.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Pray that you all have a most blessed Holy Mother's Day. Whether you have
and
child
you.
As well,
Amen.
You have others come by. Amen. And that has been a spiritual blessing to people. And we thank you for being faithful mothers, mothers of prayer, mothers of the Word of God, mothers of the as children of God. So we bless you and pray you have a joyful celebratory day. Actually, every day should be our day. But every day is definitely the Lord's day. And as long as we are with Him, then every day is an awesome blessing of life. So we do want to bless you, mothers, on Mother's Day, and pray that you will come out and work with us. It seems like it may be a little rainy, but in your hearts, we still, if the rain stop nothing, we still will worship the Lord. So we thank you and we love you and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.